Morning to you, Danny.
Morning, Danny.
Morning, boys. How are we?
Yeah, good. So in the wash-up for the Brisbane Lions, Danny, you've got pick one, Cameron Rayner. Pick 15 was Zach Bailey, another midfielder. Brandon Starcevic, who I've had a good look at his video. He looks an enormous talent. And pick 41, Toby Wooler. He's a key forward. And a couple of the Lions Academy players, Connor Ballandine and Jack Payne. So all in all, a pretty successful draft, you'd imagine, for the Brisbane Lions.
Yeah, we were pretty happy. I think most clubs say they're happy after the draft, don't they?
But, yes.
Like we had a longest management meeting last Wednesday, which went for about 6 hours, going through our picks and how we wanted it to pan out, and it virtually panned out exactly how we hoped it would, especially with our first three picks. That was the three boys were after, and you never know what sides are going to pick in front of you, so you've got a lot of contingencies and what-ifs, but our first three picks worked out exactly how we wanted, and we weren't 100% sure where Connor would be bit of that, but thankfully he wasn't bid until 42, so we were able to use our pick 41 to get Toby, which was a big win for us. So, and obviously the two Academy boys in the back end, so we're pretty stoked with how it turned out.
When people who don't understand how the draft works, it really is a complicated system. And it just takes so much work beforehand, Danny, doesn't it? You know, in preparation. And then, of course, the pressure just on the night itself. When you're on the clock, you probably, most of the time you've made your decisions, but things can change. And, you've got to keep a cool head sometimes and before you make your decisions.
Yeah, you do. Now, the crew has obviously been looking at these kids for 2-3 years. So, as I said, the list management meeting, which involves 8 of us, was obviously myself and Fags from a coaching perspective are on there. So it's easy for us to come in and watch 5 minutes of, highlight reel and say who we like. But at the end of the day, the recruiters are the ones who do all the work, so we put a lot of trust and faith in them. But, yeah, you're right. As I said, you don't know what's going to fall your way on draft night. And, guys get through that you didn't think would get through. So you've got to be prepared for whatever comes your way. And keep a cool head, but I'm not sure if you saw the vision, but our boys seem to be laughing and smiling a lot, so
yeah.
Had a bit of a fun night, I think.
Yeah. So, Danny, how much lobbying is done by yourself in the coaching staff towards David Noble and Chris Fagan and the other recruiters in the lead up to draft? How much time is spent, once the season's over, or is this just a continual process throughout the whole year and the past 18 months? But how much lobbying do the coaching staff, and how much of a say do they have in who they'd like to see drafted to the club?
Yeah, obviously we look at our list. Our first list manager meeting was back in April, so Dom, our list manager, starts looking at free agency and who might, fill our needs, etc. But from a coaching perspective, once a trade period's done and you've sort of got an idea of your list and who you've got in and who you've lost through delistings and obviously free agency like Rocky, we get together as a whole coaching group and look at our list and see what our needs are. Obviously, we're looking at the midfielders this year because we lost a couple, and we go back as a coaching group, myself and Fags, and put our view across of what we need. But that's more probably from a back-end point of view. Like, as I said, the recruiters, we put great faith in taking the best talent, but when it gets to, the back-end picks, that's probably when the coaching group as such would like to see, a big-body midfielder or forward. Like Toby plays a bit like Tom Lynch, so we thought he was someone that would help our forward line, but could also go through the midfield, so probably not much in the first couple of picks that we had, more so the back end where, as a coaching group, we put our lobbying forward about what we need.
So what happens now, once these players are recruited to the club, how do you manage these young men? Because they are very young men. Once they come into a club, particularly from interstate, so how do you bring them on in a way that doesn't really expose them and expose their inexperience too early? How do you sort of manage that process?
Yeah, it's a great question. We've obviously, in most clubs or all clubs, got a welfare system. So the first thing we do is make sure that we ballot them either to a host family or to a playing players who we feel will help them settle in as quick as they can. So, for example, Cam Moran, pick one, we'll probably put him in a host family. We feel he's probably better off living with a host family for the first 6 or 7 months, finding his feet, and then maybe pushing him towards living with a player. Someone like a Starcevic, whose uncle's over here, obviously Craig. We'll discuss whether he's best done living with Craig or another host family, but we tend to put him in host families for about 6 months to find their feet. allow their parents to come over, check things out, and then from there we get a feel for the players and who they sort of hang around with and who they, you know, gel with in terms of the playing group, and then try and feed them through those players and with those players, so it makes life easier for them. We have a big induction day next week, a weekend, where we bring all the parents over, do a tour of the facilities, have an induction day at one of our board members' houses. So there's a fair few things we do. Fags is doing the rounds of Australia right now, meeting the players and parents. So, you know, he's been to Perth, and he's been to Darwin yesterday, and he flies back to Melbourne to see Toby's family, and he'll be back in Brisbane tomorrow afternoon. So he's done a lot of flying around, getting to know the players and the family. So there's a fair bit goes into it, and as you said, they are very young, and we are such a young group that it probably makes it easier for the fitting because they're such a young group. And you know, someone like a Jared Berry, for example, has already rang all the kids up and offered to pick them up at the airports and take them out for dinner when they arrive. So we've got a pretty good culture up here to help them.
Danny, always a lot of pressure on the number one draft pick. Tell us a little bit about Cameron Rayner, and he's a from all reports, a very powerful midfielder stroke forward. But tell us a little bit about him from what you've seen and what you've experienced.
Again, I wasn't fortunate enough to be involved in the interviews, etc. But one thing Fags said to me, he wasn't sure what to expect when he was interviewing him, but he said he's such a, you know, a good young bloke who just wants to play AFL footy and happy to go anywhere. And if you watch his highlight tapes, people say he's got a bit of Dusty Martin in him.
Yeah.
And I was fortunate enough to be rich when we drafted Dusty, and there's a little bit of Dusty in him, but Dusty was more a midfielder who could go and play forward. This kid's more a forward. He's probably a little bit more like Robbie Gray.
Yes.
He's got some attributes as a forward which are just X factor. And he wins his own ball, he tackles hard, he can mark, he just wants to win the footy at all costs, and, you know, he can pinch it through the midfield as well, and, again, some of his vision at centre bounces, he's just so strong over the footy, and he can kick it 60 metres out of centre bounces, so he's going to be a kid who'll play forward for us, probably as that third-type forward, like a Robbie Gray, and we can pinch it through the midfield, but I remember Greg Swan saying to me, he's the sort of kid that, you know, our supporters will be wearing his number in 2 and 3 years because he's just a match winner. He can win a game off his own boot. And he's got some serious talent, the kid. So it was probably a no-brainer in the end to take him.
Interesting when you say, you know, with the interview with him, how long does that interview go? How long do you get with them?
Yeah, 20 minutes. Get about 20 minutes.
20 minutes, eh?
Yeah. Hmm.
There's a lot of specific questions you'd really need to ask, wouldn't you, to find out a lot about someone in 20 minutes?
Yeah, you do. But, you know, during the course of the year as well, the recruiters get to speak to them anyway, so it's more, you know, it's more Fags, to be honest. He probably hasn't had the opportunity to speak to these kids. He gets an opportunity just to find out what they're like. But the thing with the players these days, they're well-versed, and they know what to say anyway. So you try and ask a couple of little quick, you know, quirky questions just to see what their reaction is and how they go. But from all reports, Fags was extremely happy with how his interview went, and he's pretty happy to have him up here.
Now, you're back in pre-season, well underway. How long before these young lads take to the training paddock?
Yeah, they will be here on Wednesday.
Wednesday.
So, they will fly in tomorrow and straight into training Wednesday afternoon. So they get a good couple of weeks, and we've got a camp in Launceston in Tasmania. So
you did that last year, didn't you? And it was very successful.
Yeah, it was. It was good for our playing group because obviously we train up in the heat, and so we took them down in some cold weather in Tassie and did a bonding session. It's just a normal week for us, to be honest. We train like we train up here and do everything the same with meetings, but it's just getting them out of the heat of Brisbane. Everyone brings their players up to Queensland to train, but we take them out of Queensland. So it's a good bonding session for our players.
Is it just a ploy by Chris Fagan to go back to Tassie and visit his parents? Or?
It is, mate. Yeah. He spends a lot of time with his parents when he goes back, so I think he might do a few talks and that as well to get an extra bit of cash on the side.
And who's impressing you in pre-season so far? I guess it's hard to single out anyone, but who's really sort of lifted in your eyes?
Yeah, no, the young kids have been back. This is their fourth week now, so Reece Matheson's had an unbelievable pre-season. His running's improved out of sight, and I think he saw the opportunity with Rocky gone to maybe get a spot in our starting midfield, so he's spent a lot of time with Nick Robinson, who's our best runner at the club, and improving his running. So he's one guy that has really stood out. Ben Keyes, training really well at the minute. Another guy who probably sees an opportunity to take the next step. But they've all come back in pretty good shape, to be honest. There's not too many who don't these days. I know it's a tough deal, but you know, obviously our older guy started back last week, so it was really interesting just walking from the car park to Yeronga and seeing Hodgie out there and all the young blokes just hanging around him and, you know, trying to get a piece of him. So he's added a lot of excitement to our group, and our players trained really well last week, so he's already brought that to the club. He's going to be enormous for our footy club, so it's all in all, it's been pretty good.
Excellent.
Good
on you, Danny. Thanks for being with us this morning. Always exciting at draft time, and we look forward to talking with you plenty now as the new season is getting underway with pre-season training.
Thanks, boys. Always a pleasure talking to you.